Well, I actually want to start this morning by sharing with you a little video of my daughter, Talitha. She is obsessed with birthdays. And so earlier this year, when it was coming up to my birthday in July, she spent the whole month beforehand reminding me multiple times a day that it was almost my birthday. This is the conversation we would have.
It's almost your birthday.
Is it almost my birthday?
Yes.
Oh, did you get me any presents?
Yeah, in Melody's room.
Oh, they're in Melody's room. Can I open them today?
No.
Oh, it's hard to wait sometimes.
But God's power to help you be present.
Oh, thank you, God Spirit.
And we also brought you your birthday cake.
Birthday cake. Can I eat it today? Oh, it's hard to wait sometimes.
God's back to help you be patient.
Oh, thank you, God Spirit. He's so helpful at helping me to be patient. She's pretty cute, I know. And now imagine having that conversation three times a day for a whole month. It was impossible for me to forget that it was nearly my birthday. And I couldn't help but look forward to my presents and my cake. But while I was waiting, I needed God's Spirit to help me be patient. Well, this whole letter of 2 Peter has been written as a reminder to us. In chapter 1, we saw what we are to remember. In chapter 2, we saw the first reason why we need to remember. And here in chapter 3, he gives us a second reason why we need to remember, and that's because the day of the Lord is coming, which is the focus of this chapter here. And so we're going to look at it in these two parts. First, that the Lord is coming, and second, how then we ought to wait for his return. And as we get into some of the details, we're going to see that just like that conversation with my daughter, this chapter is teaching us about a significant event that's coming in the future, much more important than my birthday, and telling us how to wait for it. So let's start with the first half, that the Lord is coming. And in a letter full of reminders to his dear friends, he calls them that several times through the chapter, he starts here by pointing them to the scriptures. Have a look with me from verse 2. He says, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. So Peter's readers are to think back to all that God has said in his word, both through the prophets and the apostles, which is effectively Peter saying the Old and the New Testament, which we would find in our Bibles today. But of course, back then, it hadn't yet been compiled into one big book. More specifically, it's likely that Peter wants them to recall where God's word speaks of the coming of the Lord. Prophets like Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Joel all spoke of this day when the Lord God would come in judgment. And then later on, the Gospels and the letters of Paul also refer to this coming at the end of time when Jesus will return. And so these great and precious promises that God had made, that Peter went to great lengths in chapter 1 to prove were true and reliable, well, these are the words to remember. And why should they be recalled? Well, because there are scoffers who want them to forget. Verse 3. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Peter's telling us what to expect in these last days, which is a Bible phrase for all the days between Jesus' first coming and his second. And he tells them to be prepared for scoffers that will come along sarcastically saying, where is this coming? And you've probably experienced scoffers in your own life. People who scoff at you for believing that there's life after death. People who are convinced that in the end we're just going to be eaten by the worms of the dirt. Maybe you've experienced people who mock you, who call you crazy for putting your hope in Jesus. People who tease you for spending time on Christian things and coming along to church on a Sunday. People who reject you when you say that you believe the Bible is actually true. People who live pleasure-seeking, sinful lifestyles, completely ignoring the prospect of a future judgment, and laugh at you when you choose to try and live for Jesus, saying no to sin and yes to godliness. Peter says, this is what we should expect in the last days. Now, the scoffers here in 2 Peter, they may well be the false teachers we saw in chapter 2, you know, spreading lies and using that to justify their own sinful behavior. Or otherwise, he's using a bit of more of a generic phrase of scoffers to speak of this kind of broader category. Either way, these scoffers claim that life's just been carrying on ever since God made the world. And so they mock the believers in the church that, you know, why would God suddenly intervene now and bring judgment on them? As if God had got the world started and then gone and had a nap. But those who recall God's word know that that's not true. As Peter points out in verse 5, he says, they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Well, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. These scoffers, they're doing the opposite of remembering, aren't they? Peter says, these people are purposefully ignoring the fact that God has brought worldwide judgment on the earth once before. Just like he did in chapter 2, Peter picks up an Old Testament example to prove that God knows how to judge, because he's done it before. And so they shouldn't be surprised that he's going to do it again. Last time it was with water in the flood, but next time it'll be with fire, he says. Judgment Day is going to happen. Don't believe the people who say it won't. God always keeps his word, and by his word he will bring about his plans for all creation. And so the antidote for these scoffers and the skepticism of our world is to come back to God's promises, where he says he will come because he's promised. And we've got to keep reading our Bibles for ourselves so that we can recall these promises. Because when we're convinced that God's word is true, well, we can be confident regardless of what other people are saying. The Lord's kept all his promises in the past, and so why would this one be any different? But hold on. I mean, if it is such a sure thing, then why hasn't God come back? I mean, it's been kind of a long time now, even since Peter wrote this letter. What's God waiting for? He answers that question next. Have a look down at verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's not being slow, which might be how we see things from our perspective, but in fact, he is being patient. From his eternal perspective. And isn't that kind? You know, we shouldn't be grumpy that God's being slow. We should be thankful that he's being patient. And you know, all this talk of judgment day coming and the ungodly facing his punishment, it might have you thinking that God is vengeful, that somehow he enjoys sending people to hell. I would hate for you to walk away thinking that today. Yes, judgment is coming, and God will bring justice upon evil, but he does not want people to have to face that punishment. He does not delight in the death of the wicked. What he wants, is for people to be saved. It's why he sent his own son into the world to die in our place. Jesus took the punishment so that we wouldn't have to face it. God's plan is that people might be rescued from the coming day of judgment. He wants everyone to come to repentance, Peter said. And that word repent, it just means to turn back, to turn away from our sin and back to Jesus, to put our faith in him. And every day that he delays his return, more and more people around the world are hearing the gospel and putting their trust in Jesus. And so if you're here today and you still haven't put your trust in Jesus for salvation, then please don't wait. Turn back to him before it's too late. Believe in Jesus to forgive all your sin. God wants to save you. Because the last of the last days is coming. And it could arrive at any moment. Have a look at verse 10. The day of the Lord, it will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Don't believe those scoffers. The day of the Lord will come. His word is trustworthy and true. Peter says it'll come like a thief. They're not calling ahead. There's no calendar date, no save the date slide up on the screen for us. It's an unpredictable certainty. That is to say, it's definitely going to happen because God said it will. You just can't predict when it'll come. It's an unpredictable certainty. But I'll tell you what. When it does finally come, you'll know about it. I mean, did you see that language? Disappearing with a roar, destroyed by fire, everything laid bare. This is going to be an unmissable event of cinematic proportions. And the magnifying glass will be cast over all things to expose sin and evil. Stephen McAlpine, he described it like a cosmic kiss cam. You probably saw this controversial moment not long ago. It was all over the internet. At a Coldplay concert in America, they had this thing called a kiss cam that would sort of pan around the stadium to different couples and put them up on the big screen for the whole stadium to see. Except on this occasion, the couple that got chosen was a CEO of a large company with his arms around a woman who was not his wife. They immediately ducked for cover, but it was too late. Their secret affair had been exposed. When the day of the Lord arrives, God's cosmic kiss cam will expose all sin, whether it's public or private. You will not be able to hide from this judgment because it will cover the earth. So if you've got sin in your life that you've been trying to conceal, know that you can't hide it from God. It'll be laid bare on that last day. Know that only Jesus can forgive your sin. And save you from judgment. It's true that the Lord is coming. Remember that. But in the meantime, what are we meant to do while we wait? Well, that's what Peter talks about in the second part of this chapter. And he spells it out clearly in verse 11 as he speaks of how we're to wait for his return. He says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Peter tells us the way to wait for the return of the Lord. And he says it's not by trying to calculate when it's going to happen. You know, our task in waiting is not to come up with great theories and conspiracies about when Jesus will return. You know, like if I'm just facing north and the sun is at the center of the sky and then there's three natural disasters, and plastic straws are banned, and the corporations have the number six in their ad campaign, and well, that means we've got to move anti-clockwise and wait 4.5 years and take a flight to Rome, and that's when Jesus will come back. That's not what he says. He says, since judgment day is coming, what do? We live holy and godly lives. And in a sense, it's that simple. It's not easy, I know that. But it's simple to understand. You know, I spent hours this week rewriting this paragraph, trying to come up with a new and engaging way to say this. At one point, I had this really corny phrase, be a flamingo in a flock of pigeons. But actually, if you've been around long enough, you know what it means to be holy and godly. And if you don't, well, he's given us a whole list in chapter 1. Remember, things like knowledge and goodness and self-control, perseverance and love. And so now, it's actually just a matter of doing it. Deciding to make every effort. And I know that you've got places to go and people to see and things to do and bills to pay. Me too. But Peter says, be holy and godly. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, live like Jesus. Be holy and godly as God's saved people. While you're doing all those things, it's an all of life kind of approach. And it'll kind of look as varied as the people in this room. And we're to do it all as we look forward to the day. That's the posture that we're to have while we wait for the Lord's return. Check out verse 13. He says, but in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. The day of the Lord, it's going to be scary for those who've rebelled against God because they're facing his judgment. But it is a happy day for believers because we get to enter into a new heavens and a new earth for all eternity. Not as kind of disembodied spirits floating in the sky. But the Bible teaches us of how Jesus will come back and we'll get new bodies, seeing him face to face in a real physical world, a new creation where there's no more crying or pain or tears or even death, where everything is good and right all of the time, or as Peter puts it, where righteousness dwells. Remember, this is what God has promised, and so it's going to happen. So we can look forward to it more than anything else in our lives. More than Talitha looks forward to birthdays. I mean, just imagine if you had a toddler reminding you multiple times a day of the new creation that we have to look forward to. Dad, it's almost the day of God. In fact, I knew a guy who used to hang a sign by his front door that simply said these two words, perhaps today. And so every time he left home, he was reminded that perhaps today could be the day Jesus comes back. And he would motivate what he did. And so he'd think, well, perhaps today the Lord will come, and so I better have that gospel conversation with my friend. Perhaps today the Lord will come, and so I ought to be godly out on the sporting field. Perhaps today the Lord will come, and so I'll read my Bible during my commute to remember his great and precious promises. Perhaps today the Lord will come. And so I'm going to pray my sister comes to repentance. Perhaps today. Maybe that's the kind of phrase you want to have stuck in your head this week as we look forward to the return of the Lord. Because when you know what's coming in the future, it should change how you live in the present. And Peter wants his readers to know that even if it feels like God is taking a long time, even if people are scoffing at you, God's day is coming. And it's good that it hasn't come yet because His patience means salvation. God's not being lazy. He's wanting more and more people to turn back to Him. So while you're waiting, make every effort to live for Him. And look, this is not new information to them or for us, but Peter writes to remind them of what they already know. And so as we wrap up this series that we've been looking at over 3 weeks, let's turn to the final verses of the letter, because in them he effectively summarizes some of the key ideas he's been saying all along. Verse 17, he says, "Therefore, dear friends, since you've been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Did you spot the different things from the last 3 weeks? He says, remember to keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, because he's our Savior who's given us all we need for life and godliness. We saw that in chapter 1. He says, remember there'll be false teachers among you, and so be on your guard. Don't get led astray. It's a warning that we don't give up our secure position in God's kingdom. We saw that in chapter 2. He says, remember, God deserves and indeed will have glory both now and forever. So we ought to live holy lives for him now as we look forward to eternity with him. We've seen that here in chapter 3. To Peter. It's a short but challenging little book, isn't it? I hope you've been reminded. I hope you've been encouraged. Maybe even challenged a little bit over these last 3 weeks. We've got to keep reminding ourselves and each other, don't we, of these truths of the gospel. Why? So that we'll resist lies and live holy lives until the day of the Lord arrives. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. Are you? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your great promise that you will come. And Father, we look forward to that day. We so look forward to that day when we will spend eternity with you and enter into the new creation. But Lord, until that day comes, please help us to wait well. May we resist the lies of these scoffers and hold on to our secure position in your kingdom, that we might live holy and godly lives until you come. And we ask that in Jesus' name.